For the third time, a hammer blow knocked all the wind from his lungs and pain filled his world. Arms, legs, head, chest, back. But he was no longer falling. He was lying prostrate, in an odd, twisted position, the wind whipping around him, his ears filled with the sound of the sea venting its anger on unyielding gneiss. By the light of the moon he could see it far below, frothing, phosphorescent, furious that it had failed to claim him. He lay perfectly still, breathing hard, screwing up his eyes against the pain, frightened to move in case he couldn't. Finally he removed a glove and lifted a hand to his head. He felt warm blood on his temple, then raised himself onto one elbow and bent each leg at the knee. Miraculously, it seemed that there was nothing broken. He tilted his head to look up toward the sky. The lip of the gorge hung 10 to 15 feet above, a wedge of black that cut hard across the sky. He couldn't see any way of getting back up there, and knew that none of the ground around him could be trusted to take his weight. He seemed to be on a narrow ledge of some sort that ran across the sheer wall of the rock. He let his head fall back and lay breathing in short, stertorous bursts. If he lay here for long enough, he would die of exposure. If he tried to climb back up, the chances are he would fall to his death. The line of black above him was broken, suddenly, by a shadow leaning over to peer down into the chasm. Enzo must have been plainly visible, lying twisted on this shelf of rock, and he wondered why his attacker would risk coming so close to the edge. Perhaps to be certain that Enzo was dead, and to finish him off if he wasn't. He lay perfectly still, looking up at the silhouette looking down, and both remained like that for some minutes, until finally Enzo could stand it no longer.
"Help!" he shouted. "Help me!"
Though he had no expectation whatsoever that any help would be forthcoming. Almost immediately the figure above withdrew from sight, and Enzo was left staring at an unbroken sky, the moon flitting in and out of the clouds, its light switching off and on, like the flickering filament of a dying light bulb. He closed his eyes and listened to the roar of the sea, aware of the light and dark that washed over him, breathing slower now, and feeling his bruised and bleeding body stiffen with the cold. Finally he decided that he would risk the exposure rather than the fall, hoping to survive till daybreak and the chance of someone coming by, someone who might hear him calling for help. But even as he thought it, he realized how unlikely it was that anyone would be out along the cliffs in the early morning light. In the season there was every chance he would be discovered by the dozens of randonneurs who trekked around the coastal footpaths. But they were into November now, and tourists to the island were few and far between. He felt the mantle of despair settle on him, like the darkness that fell as the moon vanished yet again. Yet again.